A couple of weeks ago, we spent a little bit of time in 1 John chapter 2, the beginning verses, and I want to do the next few verses this morning. So just to remind us of where we are, I want to read 1 John 2, verses 1 through 14. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, little children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us, that we may know you, that we may know how to walk in your ways. And we pray that as we consider a portion this morning, that you would be honored and glorified, that the body of Christ would be built up. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. A command, old and new. When I was preparing this and when I sent it in to get it put in the bulletin, I thought, well, we'll get all the way to verse 14 today, and no, we're not going to. So. we'll try to make it through to 11. I think there's enough there to keep us busy. Last time, when we looked at the beginning of chapter 2, we saw in verse 4, there that John said that he who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Today we see in verse 9 of chapter 2 that John writes, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. He who loves his brother abides in the light. In verse 4, John spoke of obedience, in a sense, in general, towards the commandments. Here today, the challenge is brought to focus. It speaks of obedience to the love commandment in particular, as we test ourselves on the way that we walk in our Christian lives. As I prepare and study, I kind of try to ask the Lord to help me to focus my thoughts on how do I want to deliver this, and then I look at various sources to make sure that I'm not going off in some odd direction. And I just want to acknowledge this morning that one of those sources, and that was John Piper, was going a lot in the same direction, and I found much of what I'm saying, I want to give credit where credit is due. So today's text falls into two parts, as we did last time. I want to do again this time. In the first part, verses 7 and 8, tell us what specific commandment John thinks that we should use in testing our Christian faith. In the second part, verses 9 through 11, we see a description of the way that test would be carried out in two senses. There's a warning for those that profess to be Christians, but who hate. And the warning is that they are doomed. And the other is a blessing, a promise. The people who love, people that are living in the light, are going to receive God's blessing. So the overall point of the passage today, as we consider this command, old and new, is that we should keep the commandment of love and so confirm our standing in the light of God. John's underlying theme, if you will, is, as we saw last time in verse 3, still consistent here. It's part of the same passage, and we just can't put it all in one big block or we'd be here for an afternoon. By this, we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments. And John is seeking to give us assurance, those that are obedient, those that should be assured, that we have that hope. But also, he wants to assure us, and he wants to take away the assurance from those who falsely think that they have the hope because they're not walking as they ought to walk or as they claim to walk. So as we try to understand, we need to come to God's Word, and we need to continue to make every effort to think God's thoughts, if you will. And that's why we pray. That's what we ask for, that God give us understanding. We need the eyes of the Lord to open our eyes in order to understand. If we can make some progress in thinking about the reality of the way that God is, then our will and our desires will not be conformed to the world, but will begin and continue to be conformed to the will of God. We will love what God loves. We will do what God does. And our light will shine so that before men, they see the light of God. They will see our good deeds, and not just our good deeds, but they will see God at work, and that will cause them to give glory to God. In verses 7 and 8, as we approach them, I want to ask some questions. So what is the commandment referred to in these verses? And we've already touched on it a bit. We'll touch on it some more. And as we touch on it, then we're going to also ask, well, in what way is it old? And then, in what way is it new? And then we need to ask ourselves, so why does John describe it in this way? Why does he stress the oldness and the newness of the command? So those are some questions that we want to keep in mind as we look at this first section. In verse 7, John begins with, "Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment." And then in verse 8, he goes on to write, "Yes, I'm writing you a new commandment." What is the commandment? It sounds confusing at first, right? I'm writing you new, I'm writing old. The fact that John begins to talk about love and hate in verses 9 to 11 helps us. It gives us direction. The commandment in view in verse 7 and 8 is the love commandment that John writes about here, but not only here, and that's why I had picked passages that were read earlier. In John 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. that you also love one another. And if we want more proof, then we can look further in the book of the books that John has written, the epistles. In 2 John verse 5, there John is talking about a new commandment. In fact, he quotes the new commandment there. And he says, well, it's not new. Again, in the same way. Now I beg you, lady, though not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And so he's again stressing this same commandment. And that language is very much like verse 7 of our text. So we know that the commandment here is in some sense new and old. It is the commandment of love which Jesus gave to his disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. So then in what sense is it old? And if we're talking about old commandments, we need to, in some sense, allow ourselves to go back to old commandments, which is why I asked the portion from Deuteronomy to be read. The command to love always has been, as we saw from the reading, and you can read through the Old Testament, and over again, it is specifically told to us and shown to us by the God who is love. So we want to have that perspective, because surely, as Jesus was teaching, and not so long ago we had a sermon with Jesus teaching the two on the road to Emmaus. And where did he teach from? He taught from the Old Testament. And he was teaching them everything from the prophets. And part of that lesson would be, God is love, and I came to prove it. Well, John learned from Jesus. And so when he's writing, no doubt he's teaching the same lessons. And he's saying to these people, I had taught you this old commandment from the first time that I came to you. So there's a context where we need to pull in Old Testament, but we need to understand what John is referring to as old here is also narrowed down somewhat. John says that the commandment is old in the sense that they being the ones that he had preached to, had it from the beginning. From what beginning? Well, the old commandment is the word which you have heard. And that's what I was referring to. John preached to them God's love. And he's saying, to you that is the old commandment. I taught it to you right from the time that I came. The beginning that he has in view is the beginning of their Christian life, when they first heard the word and they believed. This is confirmed also if you keep looking later on in chapter 2 here, in verse 24, John writes, if you heard from the beginning, what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son. So it's a confirmation that love commandment from the beginning of the time that John preached to them was what they first heard. Now that's important, and we'll explain why that's important. John means this to be very encouraging. He's not writing to load on the people any new duty. He is not saying in one sense anything new to them. It's the same word that they received when they first heard the gospel. It was part of the foundational gospel message. That's important because of those who came in later, and that's one of the reasons why John was writing, to disagree with the gospel that John had given to them. And John is saying, well, no, they're the guys that are walking in darkness and not in light. It's part of what John meant in chapter 1, in verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. And again in verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him being Christ, and proclaim to you that God is light, In other words, the commandment that believers must love their God, but also one another, was part of the original gospel message that John preached to these people. And so there's a clear implication in the basic truth that God is light, and that John is saying that the old commandment has to do with that light, the love of God and the light of God. For John, the commandment of love belongs to what people should hear from the beginning. So when we're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be proclaiming that. What people should hear when they hear the gospel preached, when they see the gospel lived out in our lives, is that Christ died for sinners and that God offers forgiveness and hope and life-changing power to all who will trust in Him. The gospel contains not only the commandment to trust in Jesus, in other words, but also the commandment in the power of that trust to be changed into a loving person. That's a big challenge. Yet, it's a promise. And John wants to assure those that are striving to walk in the light that they can claim that promise, that God will change them into a loving person. So when John says, when I require of you that you must obey the commandments to love in order to maintain assurance, I'm not really requiring anything new. It's what I said all along. It is an old commandment that was taught to me and I taught to you. And it's part of the word which you heard from the beginning. So then, in what sense is it a new commandment? As we have stressed in verse 8. Yet, I am writing you a new commandment which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And I want to focus here for a moment on a word that we might just pass by already at the end of verse 8. The true light is already shining. What does that mean? Well, it has to mean that a light that was expected sometime in the distant future is no longer merely a hope. That light has already begun to shine. Well, what expectation? Again, so not a new message. If you read the Old Testament and you're paying attention, time and time again, we hear, as in the Psalms, the Lord is the light of my salvation. And in numerous places, we have example after example of that light shining. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 and 20, the sun shall be no more your light of by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you by night. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. There was an expectation under the old covenant of this light to come forward. And John is bringing that together as he's writing to these people in this epistle. The Old Testament looked forward to a day when all would be revealed by the light. No more sin, no more misery. All would be righteousness and joy in the light of God. So, in the context of what John is saying here, he connects these phrases together. I want to describe it as Piper does. John connects this with the phrase that goes just before it, that God is light, with the phrase before it. And in doing so, he paraphrases verse 8 to read like this. I'm writing a new commandment of love to you. And the reality of this love is coming true in Him, that is in Jesus, and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Let us say it in reverse. Since the true light is already shining, the result is that the love commandment has come true in Christ and is coming true in you. And so John is tying in the commandment of love to the fact that we are to walk in light, even as He is in the light. And from this connection, we have an ability or the opportunity to learn that the glory of God, if you will, the glory of God, the glory of the light of God, includes light. The glory of God, the glory of the light of God, includes love. John says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. And the challenge here is that he's saying that true light is now shining in the world. The challenge is for us to begin to wrap our mind around that and live that. And where do we see it? We see it in the love command. Love which has come true in Jesus, and because His people are being transformed, then is also seen in us. The light of God is the light of love. So let me draw some parallels, if you will, all right, to try and bring this home. So John wrote in the gospel, John writes here, in 1 John, God is light. John records in his gospel that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then Jesus went on to say to his disciples, you are the light of the world. So that's the one stream of thought. Now John is saying here, God is love. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then he said to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. And John is saying, those two need to be joined together. The beam of light that shines out from God through Jesus, and because we have believed through us into the world, is a beam of love, if you will. One day this light will cover the earth like the water covers the sea. That's the promise. That was the expectation that we read from Isaiah. But for now, we have this promise to hang on to, that it already has begun to shine in Jesus and in those who walk the way that He walked. So to the degree that the gospel makes headway in the world and transforms people into those who love like Jesus loved, to that degree the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. And yes, we battle with darkness all the time and we see it in the world around us. But as we are walking in the light, as we are striving to walk in the light, we need to remind ourselves of these promises, of this assurance. God's not going to lose this battle. The light is shining. The light is growing. And He's called us to continue to grow as part of that light. So the reason that the commandment of love is new in one sense is that it is a commandment to be the new light of the world in Christ Jesus. When John says that the light which was hoped for in the distant future of the kingdom of God is already shining, he means that it is new because Christ came to do a new work. It came first in Christ, and now John says that command is to come into the life of everyone that is a believer. Again, I want to borrow from Piper, because he described a picture here that I want to use his words. And he says, picture a sunrise. The day of light is going to dawn over the whole world. The first rays of that light are the love of God in Jesus Christ. The glorious kingdom of God peeked over the horizon, and one beam of light shot into the darkness. Jesus of Nazareth. He formed a church and he said, you are the light of the world. Or to put it into other words, he said, love one another as I have loved you. And the love commandment is new because it is a commandment to become mirrors of the new age, which is shining over the horizon in the love of Jesus Christ. So why does John stress the oldness and the newness of this love commandment that we are all very familiar with? Well, I think he stresses the oldness in one sense to distinguish his teaching from the new teachings of the false prophets, as I mentioned earlier. The group that really had left the church. They were evidently dissatisfied with the gospel message that John brought, the old message. They had some new things, some innovations, some progressive, if you will, things to say about sinlessness as you read this letter, about assurance and about incarnation. According to 2 John verse 9, they went forward and did not abide in the doctrine of Christ. So he wanted to say, look, you need to hang on to what I gave you from the first, which was that old truth from the beginning, the gospel. And John's admonishing the church not to do that, not to be swayed by the new opinions that were going to deter from that old message. He stressed the new commandment of love, that it was the same as the old, and so in a sense it's an old new commandment, which they had heard from the beginning. It was part of his original presentation of the gospel. It was not some later adjustment or addition. Right, so I didn't change. They are trying to change what I preached to you, what Jesus taught me to preach to you. And the reason that John goes on to stress the newness of the command is that if the church doesn't understand how the command of love relates to the newness of the light that has come in Christ, then we're not going to be any more successful at keeping the command than Old Testament believers were. In fact, if we don't understand the newness of the command in the light of Christ, then we too will turn it into legalism the way that Israel struggled with legalism in their lives. Now that may sound odd to speak of legalism and the command of love in the same sentence, but it would be really easy for someone to twist John's teaching into legalism. You see, legalism is just the view that by performing certain acts, we earn or deserve to, or come to some kind of merit in God's books, and we earn our own eternal life. And John writes verse 8 in such a way that the love commandment cannot be put into the service of legalism. I'm writing you a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. You see, when the new commandment of love comes true in Jesus and in us, it's because the true light is already shining. So our love, in that sense, cannot earn God's light, because if we are abiding there, it is God's light. We're not trying to earn it. We are abiding. Love comes true in us because the true light is already shining, and shining in us and through us. Love can't earn the light of the kingdom, because true love is the light of the kingdom that is already shining. Our love can't deserve God's love, because our love, if we are loving in the way that John is describing, is God's love, which is being perfected in us. Love is the evidence of eternal life in us. I said that last time, and I say it again. And eternal life in us is a gift of God. So there's no way that we can think of ourselves, think of our obedience to the commandment of love, as earning our own way, as deserving life. Because as we've confessed, that is life. That is light. And it is God within us that gives it to us. And that's why John stresses the newness of the love commandment. When we obey it, when we act according to this, responding to God's love for us, and how great was that love? That Jesus willingly laid down his life to pay a price that we couldn't do. When we obey, we give evidence that a new light and a new life has come into our hearts. When we obey the love commandment, we give evidence that we have been transformed. We've been taken into a new sphere of life, if you will, into the light. So how do we apply this new commandment, this old commandment? Which really is, boiling it down, would be to say that it is a test of our Christian life. Applying the test of love, we could say, in talking about verses 9 to 11. They apply the test of the love commandment in two senses. In one, it is a person who loves, and in the other is a person that hates. John doesn't seem to recognize any middle ground. So often, we have a tendency to soften the gospel for ourselves. But over and over again, the lines are drawn. And here again they are. Just as Jesus drew the lines for people, John is drawing them. You're either loving or you're hating. Which one are you doing? You know, Jesus, at one point, walked into a synagogue, and he challenged in the same way. There stands a man with a withered hand, and he knew what they were thinking. What's he going to do now? It's the Sabbath. His challenge was, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill? There was no middle ground. He offered those in his hearing no place to stand between saving and killing, between loving and hating. If you don't want to save, you're in the class with the killers. And John would say, if you don't want to love, then you're in the class with the haters. The application of the test of these verses 9 to 11 is the same. This is the third time that John in this short epistle challenges in this way. It's the same as the test of walking in the light in chapter 1 in verses 6 and 7. It's the same as what we talked about last time, the test of obeying God's commandments in general in verses 4 and 5. And now here again, it's the test of walking in the love commandment in verses 9 to 11. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. We cannot say one thing and do another. People aren't foolish in that sense. I mean, the Bible describes people as foolish if they deny God and won't turn to Him. But they are not fools in the sense that they can see when we are living our lives inconsistently. If we claim that we need to love and then proceed not to walk in love, we are living a different gospel than we're trying to preach. And John says, if we step back, then we're lying. Because either we're lying or God's lying. And we can't go there. Some people would say, well, yeah, then I guess... And they won't come right out and say it. But basically, God's the liar. The challenge for us is to walk in the light. Christ came so that the light would be shining in a new way upon the earth. And then He's commissioned us to go. Right? I am the light. And now you guys are the light of the world. I am love. Now you guys go and love like I loved you. As I said last time, John moves slowly. And I think it's because it's an important message. And he wants us to really get what loving means. And what walking in love and in light means. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and in it there is no cause for stumbling. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because darkness has blinded his eyes. We're either seeing clearly or we're allowing ourselves to be blinded. The challenge for us who claim the truth is to also claim the assurance that we can walk in the truth by the power of God working in us. Hate is the evidence of the blindness to the light of God. And Jesus drew some pretty strong lines in the sand about what constitutes hate. Well, if you call your brother a fool in the wrong way, wait a minute. How we treat one another speaks volumes of how we understand the gospel. Love is the evidence that sight has been given to the blind. And that is our assurance, because that is the miracle of new birth through Christ Jesus. This is the true light that is already shining. This is the fountain of love in every believer. That God, who is light, loved us so that we, in Him, could shine His love to others. Amen.